This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone. I'm retiring. Paul Dano collects teeth. Maybe. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
I have a new Greg Kinnear tweet. Here we go. Had a nightmare. Now awake. Tweeting and eating carrots. Thank you.
Wait, who are you? Who was just talking?
Babs. Did I say it? Not say I'm Babs Gray?
No, you didn't.
I'm Babs Gray.
Perfect. This is the perfect intro. I love it.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Right. Hey, I'm Brandy Posey, and it's that time of year again when I physically exhaust myself by talking myself out of buying Halloween stuff from Target.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Tess Barker, and so fucked up that my dog's birthdays pass by every year, and I don't even know.
Oh. And this is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got for everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hello, spooky hello.
Ooh, welcome to the show, everybody.
We're very excited for the show, but we're going to tell you some stuff. Other stuff that we got going on. We have a live show on Sunday, November 7th. Margaret Cho's on it. Holy crap.
Oh my God.
We've been having a blast at these shows. They're so much fun. So go get a ticket. tinyurl.com/ladytoladylive. You can also watch it on Zoom. So even if you're not in LA, go grab that.
Totally great shows. The venue is vax only and it's outdoors. And yeah, come say hi in person. We would absolutely love that.
And Patreon. Play with us, listeners.
Yes.
Forever and ever.
And patrons do get half off tickets too if you're a Patreon member. So go to patreon.com/ladytolady to get that discount code or to sign up and listen to all our cool bonus stuff that we're always doing.
We've got so much cool stuff happening over on Patreon. We know how much you love our ad reads, but if you're not crazy about them, for $2 a month, you get a couple of ad-free episodes. For $5, you get ad-free plus a bonus episode every month where we are desperately trying to get into Reader's Digest, and we're crushing it, I think. And then for $10 a month, you get bonus episodes, ad-free, plus a weekly Beef of the Week and all sorts of other goodies. And then we also have a $20 tier where you get all of that, plus you get to talk to us on a Discord, and we send you a very fun little package with exclusive JCPenney photo shoots.
They're so cute. We look so good in those pictures.
They're amazing.
It seriously is great. And you know, like, just think of this show. If you've enjoyed it, if it's added anything to your life, it really helps us out if you support us directly on Patreon. So we would love it if you would go check that out if you haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, we have cute ass merch. Oh my God, the holidays are coming up. We've got hoodies. We're gonna have an exclusive new piece of merch, winter style, coming out soon. We can't wait for that one. Lots of cute stuff on our merch page, so go check that out. Just, it's all, the links are all of our Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you have a lady to lady fan in your life, now's the time to jump in there.
Hell yeah, check it out. And also, just real quick, I am touring starting at the end of this month. Starting next week, actually, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, Gainesville, Florida, Asheville, North Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, Chicago, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Denver, Colorado. If you live in any of those places, brandyposey.com will have information on where those shows are happening. Come out to a show. Me, Anna Valenzuela, and Kevin Casey White are on tour. It's the Fest and the Furious tour, and our poster is me as Vin Diesel. So,
yes. So cute.
Come hang out.
As it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get to our guests this week. Oh my God, they're both amazing. We've got Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. They host the Ruined podcast, in which they talk about horror movies. Hallie's a horror movie lover. Allison is a horror movie hater. So Allison just shows up to hear about the plot, basically. So it's great if you love horror movies or if you just want to hear the plots. like Allison does. Hallie is also the senior writer for the Crooked Media's Love It or Leave It podcast. And Allison is a writer and comedian. She's written for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. So enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
This is I'm Allison. Hallie.
Oh, okay, God, good. Well, we I'm glad that we said the exact same time. So, yeah, just, we're both of us at the same time.
Yeah.
That's how you guys do your podcast, though, right? You just both talk.
Kind of.
Yeah, we speak over each other and also in like synergy, so no one knows who's talking or what is being said.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And you found that Zoom really helps with that, too, well, right?
It's just, good because
The timing is perfect.
Technologically, it's a flawless system. I think we can all agree. So, this has been Allison talking. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
I will say, Hallie was looking at our reviews as I want to do. And one of them was it was like a 4-star, and it was like, great podcast. Why do they keep talking over each other? It makes me nuts. Like, the person was like, I'm listening, but I'm furious at the same time.
And it's just like, I know, it's like, if that aggravates you that much, like, hats off. I mean, because we get the same kind of reviews occasionally, and it's like, I feel like you're either the person who's comforted by that kind of conversation, or hats off to you for still listening, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer a brunch conversation where there's a beat of silence between everything that is said, personally. Yes. So I understand where these reviews are coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. I want everything delivered like it's a telegram. That's how I want conversations to go. Just say stop at the end of every sentence so everybody knows to shut up.
I do feel like TikTok, that is like, TikTok has like the AI, like the generated audio, like the voice. If you listen to people, when they do voiceover, they are essentially doing that automated voice now. Like, that's like the sound of TikTok.
You're right.
It's very weird. Yeah.
That's like the Emma Lay style guide of voiceover now. TikTok.
Yeah, like a little bit stilted, very flat.
Right.
You know what? I have to say, for me, that's a deal breaker. Like, if I want to listen to an audiobook and the review says that the narrator has a robot voice, I won't even give it a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It makes such a big difference. Like, you can start listening to a book and you're like, ugh, no, I'm not. I'm listening to one right now, a Stephen King one. It is literally, how long is it? It's Tommyknockers. It's like It's like 30 hours long. It's so fucking long.
Wow.
And I'm
that man likes to write a long
I don't understand how he does it.
It's insane.
It's fucking insane. But yeah, it's good. But like, I really like the guy reading it. So I was like, I might just go find other books that this guy has read.
Is it just like some guy who's like does that for a living?
It's not. Or yeah, it's not like anyone famous, I don't think. Because like his books are just so dense that it's like you need you can't have just anyone coming in reading the shit. Not like, you know, a lot of actors know how to do that. But obviously it's very specific.
It's very specific. A friend of mine who I did theater with in high school is now like a professional audiobook reader.
Oh, the dream.
Totally makes sense. He played Sweeney Todd when we were teenagers. So you guys know what I'm talking about. And I think that would be a really interesting job. Like, you have to be like, it's a very specific skill set.
It is to like embody good at reading books. All the different characters and stuff. So
does the person that reads a Stephen King book, does he use a spooky voice at any point since it's Stephen King?
Well, he tries to sound like Stephen King and he is a spooky person. So I feel like inherently. Okay. He's spooky. No, he's never like, and then they found out it was aliens. That kind of just sounds like, what's his, Don Pardo or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That would be such an insane book to listen to.
She said.
Yeah, it's, you know.
A good audiobook is, Emily Heller had told me this years ago when I had read this book, and then she was like, no, you have to listen to the audiobook because Leah Remini's book about Scientology, which is a great book, but like she reads the audiobook and like her voice is already like incredible, but
it's
also
amazing.
She sounds drunk and it's like,
oh my God.
The whole thing is insane. It's a very, highly recommend.
Because I love her so much. Her Scientology show is the same episode over and over again for like 3 seasons, and I can't get enough of it. Good. Like, it's her nails, her presence,
the way she like uses an iPad. It's just incredible.
Yes, incredible.
So obviously, you guys have a podcast about scary movies. Do you have any like good recommends for, you know, that are new or just like classics you think? Because I feel like people are really getting to Halloween this year because we kind of like have a lost Halloween, you know? So what about for people like me? I'm like a, I definitely get scared like too easily, but I like watching scary movies. You know? So it's like, I don't know. I always will try to do it. And then I'm like, what the fuck? Why did I do that to myself? So I never know what level to like look for, you know?
I mean, I definitely feel like my first thought like is starting with like a Jennifer's Body, which is a horror movie, but it's a horror comedy. So you're getting scares, you're getting gore, but you are, it's softened by the humor of it. I love that movie. We did that movie, I think over the summer. Yeah. It was so good. In terms of like a recent movie, I gotta go give it up for Malignant. I feel like everyone's talking about it. And I will say I loved it. Is it scary? Not in any way.
Really?
It's just absolutely bonkers. And it's been so long. I felt like watching it, I was smiling. I gasped out loud multiple times. It's the kind of movie where every choice you're like, huh. And I think it was like James Wan said, this movie's for me. And there's something about that in a horror movie where like hats off. Is it actually scary in any way? No, but it is wild. It's a wild ride. So I feel that's like what you I've can heard. Watch it if you're scared. Yeah.
I like spectacle no matter what. And that's what it sounds like. Yeah. So I'm in. Absolutely. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds really good. Do you guys have like things that you prepare for to like watch a horror movie? Like a setting for yourself?
Well, I never watch them, which is the premise of the podcast. Is I'm like, absolutely not. Please just tell me what happens.
Oh, so you don't watch it. Okay, I see where you're at. Okay.
I'm the scared one. Right. So there are like a handful of like scary movies that people are always like, do that movie. And it's like, I've seen The Shining. And actually it wasn't that scary. Like
it's not that scary.
It's a good movie. Yeah. So I don't have like a ritual before I watch them, except for that I like that we record our podcast during the day so that I don't have as many nightmares.
I like this because like I'm also a big horror movie scaredy cat. And like the way that if I am going to watch a horror movie, I will. The lights will be on. The rules are you have to be OK with me having read the Wikipedia ahead of time.
Absolutely.
I also can get up and walk around as much as I want and yell at the TV and I will roast it the entire time. And if you agree to those terms, then we can watch a horror movie.
Yes. Same boat.
Yes. Now, Allison, were you deprived of scary movies as a child?
No, they were around. I just like did not want. I was like, I don't like this. I like not scary things.
Because my mom was like a first grade teacher. And so she was really strict about us watching scary movies. Mm. And I guess she probably did us a service in terms of that not being like in our subconscious. But it really lowered my sensitivity.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh,
I do feel like you hear from people. They're like, oh, I watched whatever. Like Halloween when I was 7 and that was too young and it scarred me. And I feel like I always had an appetite for it. Like I don't think I saw anything too young, but I remember going to the library and getting those like scary stories to tell in the dark or just the most horrific things that I was allowed to get. And my parents, I will say, they were very much like, if it's from the library, you could get it. But as a result, I did read a bunch of Stephen King books way too early. Like earlier than I had context for what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, if anything, that made me just want more horror later on in life.
Gotcha. See, I saw Child's Play 2 when I was 4 years old at a sleepover.
Oh, yeah, no, and that'll do it. Yeah.
I feel like you're wearing a very Chucky shirt right now, I have to say.
Yes. Kind of.
Trying to reclaim it a little bit for myself.
You take the power back.
Do my palms still burst into sweat every time I see a Chucky in the wild? Absolutely.
That's a natural reaction, because... You shouldn't have to be encountering Chucky's anywhere.
Chucky's in the wild. Yeah. Do not want to see it.
That's always, I will say, on Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah. That's Chucky? The character.
So there's a Chucky you can take pictures with?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's doing that?
I mean,
people love that character. That's like a...
People really like it. I mean, he's also got a fake machete, and I've seen him like poke people with it. And if the fake Chucky poked me with his machete, I would actually murder him, and I don't want that to happen. Yes. So I just stay.
I'm just saying we would have a really good true crime podcast if you did murder him, though. So
no, that's true.
Well, if he shows up dead, I didn't do it. I'm just saying it right here on the podcast. Yes. I just those Hollywood Boulevard actors, they live a real fast and loose life. It is not my fault. Whatever happens to him.
Yeah. I think that this is like legally, but like I think that you're good now.
Yeah.
From what I know about recorded audio and podcasts and the law, I think that this is good.
Yeah. If there's no video, it doesn't count. Like
exactly.
So
Yeah, we have a lot of murderinos listening, and I like to web sleuth. If they could web sleuth away from me, I would appreciate that. So, thanks, guys.
I know there might be sometimes on TikTok you'll see like people whose 5-year-old son has like a Mike Myers themed birthday. Oh, God. Like it's like kids who are super young but are obsessed with like the Babadook or something. But that does beg the question: is like, why did you see that? Why do you know what this is in the to begin with?
Yes,
like it's a little liking it because you're a kid. Who showed you this?
I did. Yes. I did just see that video of the little girl who loved Michael Myers so much, and they had him show up at her birthday, and she just runs over to him and is hugging him.
See, that's really cute.
That's cute.
That's really cute.
See, for half a second, I thought it was Austin Powers.
Right? Yeah,
that
yeah.
would make more sense. That would make a lot more sense.
No, she runs away in terror at Austin Powers.
My favorite cousin used to babysit me, and she was so cool. Like, she would let me have root beer on my nightstand instead of water. And she, when I was like 12, let me have a drag of her cigarette. And she showed
me. How are your teeth?
I'm not good because I also love coffee and wine. But she showed me Elvira. That was like my first naughty movie. Very formative. And that actually was like, because Elvira, I guess, is kind of scary because she's like goth, but.
Well, she's
also, I love her movie.
Yeah, she just came out. Exactly. She has that memoir that just came out. She's doing the rounds.
I bet that's a good audiobook.
Oh,
I'm sure. I bet you she read it. Cassandra Peterson, she fucking rules. Also, we've for the last several years, listeners, we've been trying to get Elvira on the show. Everybody should tweet at her and tell her to come to our podcast.
Phenomenal idea.
Her manager's not responding, so tweet at her directly to come to our show.
Yeah, get on the press tour.
Yes! I would love it. I would love to podcast with Cassandra Peterson. She's fucking awesome.
Movie I wanted to recommend if you are afraid of scares, and this is going to seem counterintuitive, but I think having just watched it, Carrie, the original Carrie, because it is not, it's not about the scare. It's more of a drama about a teenage girl in an abusive, with an abusive mother. And then at the end, a bunch of horror stuff happens. But for the most part, it's just you watching this girl like, oh God, please. Like if you had one friend or if like people knew about like therapy or like, if she got a scholarship, like anything. So I feel like if it's the horror part that you have a hard time with, you'll be fine. It's just the sympathetic, dear God, I know this is going to end badly for her. That's a tough one.
Gotcha. So wait, I haven't seen Carrie, and spoilers, I guess maybe, but like, is it that the real scary stuff is like enacted on the mean people in the movie? Like she gets revenge on people, right?
She does. But then unfortunately, it's like much like how all trauma is in real life. It is also terrible for her. Like it's not like this cathartic thing. It's like she can't ever have a normal life. Like she can't, you know, like.
Yeah. Right. Because she it like does, kinetically does shit. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If she just had one normal person. Well, she does actually. Now I'm saying this like. It just, it's, you'd think, okay, it's, we're going to watch someone, like, we're going to get vengeance, it's going to be satisfying, like, in a, like, an audition or, you know, sort of a Quentin Tarantino movie, and you're just like, oh, girl, like, I wish you could have just gone to community college and, like, got an apartment.
You just had somebody you could go get manicures with.
Yeah, if only. And that's what
just
we all
get
need.
Out for a second.
Yeah.
For sure.
I remember watching, I definitely watched that when I was younger. Yeah.
Do you guys think Elizabeth Holmes would have been the same if she had someone to get manicures with?
That's a great question. I still want to know about her upbringing because it does have that like white woman. Like it's like I have to be the white the female Bill Gates, so I will do it. But nobody told her the part like you can't go about it in the worst way possible. So, yeah, I guess she probably didn't have someone.
I don't think. And also, like, all those, like, texts and, like, the way that she relates to the guy who was her partner, both, like, business and sexually. Like, I'm just like, oh, no one ever, like, talked to you about, like,
relationships. Oh, my God. Yeah, wait, what was that? Those texts that just came out where she was like, I'll do anything for you. And he was like, K or something.
Yeah, he was like, I love you. I love
girl,
the ocean.
Girl, you need to know how to read a K.
You're my sounds. You're my smells. Like, whatever. And then he just went, like, okay.
Okay, great.
God.
Who's the,
that's a horror movie.
Yes, God. That is a horror movie.
Yeah, there should be a horror movie just called K, period. K.
No one could, like, it's like one of those movies that, like, everyone walks out of at, like, con. They're just like, no, too much. Like,
Lars Van Trier.
Too real.
Yeah. K. Jordan Peele's next movie is called Nope. And there's no details about it, but it's an evocative title. I want to know what's the Nope.
Yeah. That's a very good title.
Definitely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I trust him. That'll be fun.
See, I do. I think his movies, I always really enjoy his movies because it is that thing of like they're the perfect balance mm-hmm. of like smart, scary, mm-hmm. but like funny enough yeah. that you're not like having nightmare. Yeah.
Well, and it's I would like to watch more horror movies just in general because it is like the writing of a horror movie. So many comedians are good at it because it's like it's set up punches. It's just like with a yeah. scream instead of a laugh, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like I appreciate them so much. And they're also kind of the two like low budget genres yeah. that are left in the world, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah it's definitely a good comedy and a good horror movie does so much with regards to like you trust the audience to be smart. You don't have mm-hmm, to yes. drag them along. It's like they're going to be trying to be a step ahead of you. So you're allowed to be subtle and creative in ways that, like, in a drama, it's like, I don't know. We got to be Phantom Thread. Everything's got to be spelled out because I'm dumb. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I also do appreciate, like, the conventions of horror movies. Like, there's something comforting about mm-hmm. all the archetypes that exist in them. And in a way, it's kind of like a Starbucks. Like, no matter where you are, mm-hmm. there you are.
Yeah. I think that's yeah. why yes. I've been really... Disaster movies have been really doing it for me okay. lately. Like, they're being... Mm. I feel very comforted by them. And it's just like, yeah. it is. It's that typical, like... here's a gruff dad who, you know, is having trouble with his ex-wife mm-hmm. or whatever. And then it's just like, oh, shit, he's got to save the world. And like, I'm like, yeah, this feels good.
Yeah,
it's reassuring the idea a normal person could save the world. Wouldn't that be yes. nice? Mm-hmm. Just one yeah. dad.
If only.
Like, I remember I watched Anthropology, sorry. What is the
Armageddon?
What is the name of the fear of spiders? I'm sorry, this is...
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia.
And it is, and literally, it's just the dad being like, these spiders are here. Like, it's just him insisting that there are spiders. And people be like, you're crazy. And wouldn't you know what? He's right. There are a ton of them.
Is that a Stephen King book? Or no? I don't think that's
it. It feels like it could be.
It was like that era.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you
yeah, definitely the
that
visual.
Is one that I ordered in the school book order because I wasn't allowed to see the movie.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Scholastic. Oh, God. How good was a Scholastic order?
So I remember I had to get a couple of good books and then I was allowed to get whatever I wanted, which was usually like the Far Side.
Yeah, Twitter trash.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Somebody posted their kids' like page of that recently and it looked very similar and it was very satisfying to look at.
Yeah. I was like, I need every Babysitter's Club book and The Far Side and a bookmark with Kathy on it because I don't understand like what adults go through. Like, it was just so dumb. I'm like, I like chocolate too. I'm like, 9? That woman's like single and like losing her mind. And I'm just like, ack! Wait, I've been into disaster movies too because I am one of the like 9 people who still has cable and they have been airing Armageddon and Deep Impact like back to back on several different networks in a way
Bold
where I'm like,
move.
I know, I'm like, they really are the Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached of the 90s action movies.
The 2 Firefest documentaries.
Yes.
Yes.
But Armageddon, I watched stoned out of my goddamn mind.
No, and absolutely not.
Aaron Lennox, I was texting a group that Aaron Lennox was in and no one was answering. And Aaron was like, I need to call you. And I was like, what's going on? And she was like, you sound insane right now. Like, I was just like, this movie has so many actors in it. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then she FaceTimed me and I was like, try to just like reference a thing. And then I accidentally just started narrating what was happening in the movie and started crying. Just like tears. And I was like, it's like, he's never going to see his son again. Like, just,
oh my God.
Oh my God.
She was like, something is wrong with you.
There's nothing
like, not
worse
wrong.
Than when you're like, yeah, you're by yourself and you're experiencing something that you're like, I don't really want to tweet about this. Maybe I'll write to like group chat about it. And like no one responds because they're like, what
and
fucking world are you living
crickets.
In right now?
Also, it was like all LA girls. And so like it was several hours. Like it was like 10 o'clock. So I was like stoned watching TV, having a glass of wine. And they were all like, yeah, we're like making dinner for our kids right now. I was like, this movie's on and I'm high. Like, a mess.
Yeah, it's the most deafening silence, the group chat that just doesn't respond to you.
And like, then you start writing ha, 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 by yourself because you're like, no, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. I am joking.
Yeah. And then you'll have someone come do you a solid a couple hours later and just drop a couple ha ha's.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Always nice. And that's the best friend on the chat.
Like, that's pretty decency.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, we're going to go drop some ha-has. We'll be back in a second.
everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Allison Halle. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi.
Okay, so we're going to play a game to get to know you guys a little bit better.
Ooh, okay.
There's no wrong answers, so
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. But there's also no right answers.
There's a couple, but so. Yeah, we'll tell you.
Okay, that's true.
Great.
Let me find the theme song.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Why?
Okay, number one. Who's the biggest nightmare?
Of the two of us?
Of the two of us?
However, whatever that means to you.
You can answer it like that, but
you're like, which of you is worse?
You guys were both so excited. You were like, of the two of us.
Like, let me see.
Of like, now of anybody or whatever. Yeah.
This is just, like I said, open to whatever you think that question.
Yeah. Who what person is the biggest nightmare?
Yeah, yeah.
Not like which of us is a worse human being. Like, got it.
This is where we turn people on each other.
There's also the entire world too. Mm-hmm. If there's somebody else outside of the podcast,
I mean, when I first we said, I was like, well, Donald Trump, which I feel like would be a very obvious answer. The problem, mm-hmm.
I mean,
between the two,
yeah.
an yeah. absolute nightmare between the two of us, yeah. Allison. I don't know. We're both very mild mannered. Like, you've never done anything nightmarish. I'm gonna be absolutely honest.
Yeah, yeah, no. Of our relationship, like, we're both nice. Which is nice. I like to throw Joe Rogan in the mix.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's a good one.
Pretty big nightmare for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just like, he's hard to look at and then also listen to and then also remember is alive and has so much money. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had that thing recently where he was like, oh, well, obviously Biden didn't get a booster shot on TV because what if he had died during it? And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I guess he took ivermectin, so what can you say about him?
Ugh, making everybody dumber, it sucks.
And it sucks because, like, as someone who loves pot, I hate the Joe Rogans of the world, mm-hmm. who bring nothing to the table and are just high.
Yes. Yeah. And they make people who smoke pot look stupid because people who don't smoke pot see that guy and they're like, this is pot. And it's like, that's not pot.
That's
steroids.
I do not associate. Yes. I know that he is high all the time, but I don't associate him with weed because I do know weed is better than him.
I assume that he is like an Alex Jones that takes a lot of weird pills for things.
Oh, yeah. A lot of powders. Like,
There's a brain supplement or something, I think, that's happening.
Yeah.
I feel like it speaks so much to like the misogyny of our society that like I have a lot of thoughts about Gwyneth Paltrow. But I feel like she is, of course, like her and Joe Rogan do both sell snake oils, but I feel like that is so wrapped part and parcel with who she is and like what she brings to the table. Whereas with Joe Rogan, it's just allowed to be like one little small part of his.
I agree.
That is true. But she also doesn't have a podcast that she does multiple times a week. So,
but if she did, I would listen. So I feel like it's like she could so easily be the female Joe Rogan if she wanted to.
Yes.
Let's replay. Yeah, let's.
But instead, she's just kind of like paying too much for throws and making ridiculous gift lists.
Yes. Yes.
Does she act? I don't even think I've seen her in anything forever, right?
She had a Netflix series about Goop. Where it was a season about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was Goop Lab.
I didn't watch it, but it was a thing. Yeah.
Wasn't she also in like a Ryan Murphy Netflix series? Like the
oh, maybe.
The president. Yeah. What was the name? The politician.
Ben Platt was in
it. Oh, yes.
I didn't watch it. But
no one
I think she
saw
was
that.
It.
No, nah. I don't think a single human being watched that show.
But I think like early aughts, late 90s Paltrow was a serve. Like Shakespeare in Love, great. That pink dress doors. When she was like dating Brad Pitt.
There are some good old Gwyneth Paltrow 90s movies that now I feel like I really want to rewatch.
Oh, Tales of Miss Ripley. She's phenomenal.
Yes.
That's a great movie.
That is a really good one. That's a classic.
A Perfect Murder with Michael Douglas.
I watched that recently. It's super fun.
An incredible movie.
Margot Tenenbaum?
Yes.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite of hers. I love her as Margot.
And what's Joe Rogan's filmography? Fear Factor? Fuck off.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean,
eat some worms or watches people eat worms.
News Radio.
Oh, yes.
Oh, News Radio. It sucks that he was on News Radio because News Radio was good.
Everyone was good on News Radio. That's not
his fault. Yeah, he's no Dave Foley. Like, if we're going to pull somebody who should be more famous on there.
The bad version of the Man Show, that is him, right?
Oh, I forgot that he was on that for a little bit.
He was the host after, or one of the hosts later, right?
They got, one of them left.
Yes.
Because Adam and Jimmy left, and then it was Rogan and Stanhope, I think, became the
yes,
secondary
that's right.
round of hosts.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God.
That is so dark.
I know. So dark.
It's a very grim timeline.
Yes. I don't feel good about this anymore.
I'm furiously Googling it like I need information. I was like, I should just delete this part of Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's a K-hole of nightmares.
K-hole of bad. K-hole of bad. Hey, that's it.
Yeah.
I think now the biggest nightmare is...
Is the second the version second of the man show.
Yes, the man show 2.0. Or yeah. 0.5, honestly.
yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Okay. Next question. What's your favorite way to celebrate Halloween?
Ooh, okay. Ooh. I feel like I always have huge aspirations and like I'm going to have a costume, I'm going to go out, and then I never do, and I just stay in with my boyfriend and watch just as many horror movies as I could get through before falling asleep.
I think it's a pretty solid plan.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to do anything, which is really appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a night that's like an excuse to stay in. So there is something in New York that I love to do, but not actually do, which mm-hmm. is... The Halloween parade exists here, and it's a whole thing, and I don't want to ever go within 100 feet of that thing, mm-hmm. but New York One covers it, and it is one of the funniest. It's like 4 hours.
Oh,
they just
God.
Live cover the whole thing from 6 p.m. to like 10 p.m., and they just like interview every psychopath that's at the Halloween parade, and it's
yes.
so funny.
That sounds amazing.
Me and my friend Jared I was like staying with him once for Halloween, and we like watched it for a while, and I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever, like, there was this woman like one of the anchors was on the street and asked these two guys, she was like, so what are you guys? And it was like two like 27 year old losers, and they were like, we're the airport. And they were dressed as the airport, and they just started like spouting off things you hear at the airport. One of them was dressed like an air traffic tower, traffic control tower.
My God.
And the other one was like dressed as like the main part of JFK. Like, it was really crazy. And they were just like, we lost your luggage. And they kept like shouting stuff at her. And she's like, okay, thank you.
Oh my
bye.
God.
Just kind of like trying to end it. And like, that shit is funnier than anything any of us are ever going to write. So,
wow.
It's so funny.
It's super funny.
The airport is such a stupid costume that it's
so
smart
funny.
Again.
Yeah.
And it also, it's like funny to think that these two guys sat down and they're like, all right, we're going to the parade. What are we going to be this year? And one of them's like, I know what it is. We're going to be the airport. And the other one's like, great idea. Like, just like imagining that conversation makes me laugh so hard.
I like
their friendship.
I also like that yes. in New York, you have three airports to choose from, and they chose JFK, but they still just referred to it as the airport.
The airport. Yeah. Hard to say exactly what they were trying to dress as. It could have been like old LaGuardia, but like it was definitely, it was a mood, as the kids would say.
I love that. I love like a janky, like local news parade is like my favorite
so funny.
Shit in the world.
Local news is so good.
Oh, it's the best. There was a really great last year for the New Year's, I watched a Vegas feed of like a Vegas countdown show that was Ooh. Done by local Vegas news anchors. And at one point, coming back from commercial, one of them audibly sniffed cocaine.
Oh,
and
that's
they
so fun.
It was. I have the clip somewhere, and then it's me screaming afterwards.
Oh my God!
It's fucking
I need
beautiful.
To see that.
I'll send it to you. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I will want. I do need to see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a perfect. So wow. Yeah. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was also this girl. They went to this like because they were like social distancing, but they went to like a party on a Vegas rooftop, mm-hmm. and the anchor was wearing a mask, and they were interviewing this girl who was like, her eyes were the biggest eyes I've ever seen, and she takes off her mask and she like hugs the anchor, and the anchor's like, uh huh. She's like, so what are you looking forward to in 2021? And she holds a microphone to her and she just goes, I just want to fucking travel. And then they cut away. She like drops an F-bomb on the local news.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So fun.
So good.
Just a perfect human being.
I want I want every local news as a live feed, as an option when I'm like scrolling through what I want to watch. Like, I want to just like touch down in Pittsburgh and see what's going on
yes,
in 7 a.m.
Please.
Like,
I would be all over that channel. Oh my God.
Yes.
That's why I really
100%.
Miss. They got rid of public access in LA. And when I moved here, I was like obsessed with it. And I would like make people come mm-hmm. over and watch. And then they got rid of it, and it was just so sad. And I'll see some Aww. Of the people out and about sometimes who had shows, and I'm like,
mm-hmm. You do?
Yeah.
Cause open mics.
They're just want. They're
is it open mic?
Yes, I think. Yeah, some of them were at open mics and just, I'll just, you know, LA like ends up being small, so you just see people like fucking randomly. But also mm-hmm. it was like a lot of people from Tim and Eric. So like David Liebehart, who had right. the puppets, like he'll just randomly be at the La Brea Tar Pits. He was there once and he was like, I'll draw your picture to my friend. So we paid him like $15 to draw some weird shitty caricature. Just a lot of shit going on. I love LA. Like Randy Newman said.
We love it.
Okay.
You guys, when is the best time of day to take a nap?
I mean, anytime, really. It's gonna have to be 3. I could take a nap right now. I'm gonna go 3 p.m. If it's earlier, you don't need it. If it's later, you're just gonna go to sleep.
Yeah. I would say I'm gonna say 4.
Yeah.
4 for me, but I'm like a night owl, so like I can push that back a little bit more because I'm not going to go to bed until like 1.
Right.
So. But yeah, that just kind of like, but what you don't want to do is start your nap when it's light out and have it like wake up into darkness. Like, so like, I guess it's kind of contingent on daylight savings time.
It needs to match. I will say this is fucked up, but like I can take a nap at like 7 p.m. and then go to sleep at like 1 a.m. I'll be fine.
That's like, damn, cat.
A little like shorty cat nap. Like not a long, drooly one, but like a little like a half quickie. Hour. Half, 20 maybe, 20 or half hour.
I'm not a big napper in general. Like it's
That's
not,
insane to me, Allison.
It's not something that I really, but I also like wake up super late because I have nowhere to go and nothing to do.
I don't know if anyone else has this on their phone, but because, we all have a weird, not a normal schedule / napping all the time. I have this is my alarms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They start at 10 a.m. and they go 4, 4:15, 4:30, 4:43, 4:45.
You're mine. Mine start at 5 a.m.
Oh my God. Wow.
And that's pretty much 15 minute increments. Flights.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last one, 11:45 p.m. Yeah. What was I getting up? Probably a flight, actually.
11:35. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, this is so chaotic. Perfect. Why don't you just change the original time?
I don't
time?
Know.
I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to do
because I know.
It's so I'm going to book another ass early flight at some point, and I'll want the 5:03 alarm
it's
already in my phone.
It's faster to click the ad a thing than it is to go find the thing. That's why.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Damn. I really respect the 4:43, 4:45 p.m. Like 2 minutes after each other is like a queen move. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on then. This is, I will say you can tell I'm napping at this time because like I probably went to take a nap at 3:30 because it goes 4:43, 4:45, 4:50, 4:52, 4:54, 4:55, 4:50.
Oh my God.
Something deeply wrong happening.
Oh my God. Now, I know we said there weren't any right answers to this quiz, but that is the right answer, actually. 3 and 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. are the right time to take a nap.
Yeah.
That's just objectively true. And nothing, I really am on board. I've always been on board with the Spanish siesta schedule because nobody wants to do fuck all at that hour.
I do like that.
No, yes.
I remember when I like worked in a non-comedy job, like an office job, that would be the time of day where I would be like, I'm going to start crying right now. Like that was always when I was so tired that like I would be like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and try not to sob too loudly because I don't want to be here and I just want to go home and
I'll be back in an hour.
The witching hour. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure.
Exactly.
I would just go take a nap in the handicap stall. I would just be like, all right, let me just be in here for 10 minutes. I think I can make this work.
Mm-hmm. I lived in, I did a semester abroad in Spain, not to brag. And they did the close for 2 hours, middle of the day. So then, but then the only drawback is, and I think it's just like, if I live there long enough, I'd be fine. Is that as a result, you know, people go back, open up their businesses. You don't eat dinner until 10 p.m. Which is fine, except I would always have terrible heartburn because I was essentially eating dinner and then immediately going to bed. And I think it could have, you know what I mean? I would have got used to it. But while I was there, I was just, my mother brought, like, sent Tums to me. Like, I just couldn't manage it. To be fair, I was also smoking and drinking. So that was probably a huge part of it.
I'm sure it's nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah.
it just started raining and I, like, couldn't understand what the sound was. It was such a, like, oh yeah, I live in LA. I'm like, what is this mysterious patter?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I did see clouds in the sky earlier and was like, whoa, I think we're going to have weather today. Cool.
You know what I see? We've never had an earthquake while we were podcasting, have we? Have you
Don't
guys ever?
Don't say that. Why would you say that?
Because I think it'd be interesting to capture.
Okay, I don't know how to instill this into people's heads who did not survive the Northridge earthquake. We're going to have a big earthquake, and it is going to be the scariest thing you've ever experienced.
I mean, yeah. I think a lot of us know that.
I don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah. We know it in theory, but I will say I don't know it in practice for sure. Absolutely.
I was living, when was that? What year was that?
1997, I think, or 1993.
I was living in Sacramento, and I was, 10 years old. But I remember I was playing soccer on a field, and we felt it there, like, barely.
Wow.
But we felt, like, a small thing.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it was? Oh, wait, maybe I'm thinking of a different one. Okay.
The first one was at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had a friend over spending the night, and we were staying up late playing Mortal Kombat.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was awake for it. So I liked it. I think of most people in California, like, I experienced the full range of it. It's, like, not like I woke up to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the whole thing go down.
Wow.
And it was as though my house was a sheet that was being, like, tossed out in the laundry. Like, my house just went, like, sideways and squishy up and down. For like 30 seconds.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Wow. It is terrifying. Weird because once it starts, especially when they're longer, you're like, oh, fuck, is this ever going to end? What if this is just life now? You just have this moment of panic. Right. Just like, oh, no. Everything will just shake until I'm dead now. Great.
That's the scare. I mean, obviously, I haven't been through one of those giant ones. But the beginning of them, that moment where you're like, what's about to happen here? Is this about to get real bad? Or like, what are we facing?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's something spooky for everybody. It's lightning when I said that.
Oh, I just saw it. I just saw the lightning.
For sure that somewhere somebody has been podcasting during one of the earthquakes in Los Angeles. Just statistically, no matter what time they're happening, someone somewhere is podcasting.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can say that about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single disaster has probably played out during a podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Otsko Okotska, former guest, has a great set of her on stage as an earthquake is happening, and her like on stage reaction to it is very, very funny.
Oh my God.
Whoa. You hear the lights like flicker and the whole room is just like, oh, and she crushes it. She brings the whole room back, but it's a great little set.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question before we go to break. Why aren't we at the pool right now?
It's raining.
Really good question.
There's a lot of thunder. There's lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LA is not set up for the pool right now.
I wish. Mm-hmm. I love being in a pool when it's raining, though. I think it's like a very decadent moment.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Like, out for the new listener, Allison and I went to high school together in Maryland, which has lots of weather all of the time.
All
so
of the weather.
Many summers were spent just like in a pool, and then a thunderstorm would break out in a downpour. It's a very nostalgic feeling to me. Whenever
it feels really, it's like crying in the shower. It's like water is everywhere, and so you're just kind of like overtaken by it. I do love being in a pool when it's raining. It is really fun.
Yeah, I forgot. But then you guys get out to and you're same like, high
now
school.
What? Yeah, did you guys hate each other, or what was your relationship? Was Allison a huge bully?
No. Actually. Allison was cool. I actually have a very specific memory of Allison in seventh grade where you were quoting Dumb and Dumber to Brian Burns, and you quoted it correctly, and he said, no, that's not right. And then you shut him down.
Bitch.
And I said, I think Allison is really cool, but her friends might suck. That was like
we were not friends, so that's fair.
That was like genuinely a thought that I had. I was like, I think Al's like real, and used to go by Al. And I was like, I think Al's like really cool.
Everybody called me Al because that's what my dad called me because he wanted a son. Allison. No, we were friendly, but also not like in circles of people who
different cliques.
Yeah, we did like the honors classes together and stuff.
Yeah.
It's also like our high school was so crazy because it was like very, very intense. And you just like, if you didn't get A's, you weren't cool. So like everyone was trying to be valedictorian. It was just very high pressure.
It was
to go to a college in North Carolina for whatever reason was a thing everyone wanted to do. Really
everybody was dying to get into UNC. I'm like, you know, you could just live in North Carolina and go there.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your life.
People crying over not getting into Wake Forest is like a memory that I have.
hate Maryland so much. It's such a fucking weird place full of weird people.
It's really crazy.
I went back recently and I was like, this is all still like this? You guys are fucking nuts. Oh.
No, it hasn't changed at all. They still do the like black all the way around the eye. Oh. The blonde is still like the yellow blonde. Yeah. It's really...
Trends in Maryland stopped and refused to move beyond 2003.
Yeah.
But that's back in fashion again now.
It's true. I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
They held on.
Yeah. I was at Forever 21 the other day and... I felt so old because every single reference, I was like, this is my shit.
Like, it's all back.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like people in, like, women in Cleveland, like, they just didn't acknowledge any other purse besides Coach. And now I feel like Coach is also back. And they're like, we reject all other handbags, but now Coach, we've returned to Coach.
Yes, Ohio loves a Coach bag.
Yeah.
My mom is from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Loves a Coach bag.
They got a stranglehold on the women in that state. I like them too, honestly. Like I would carry a Coach bag. I have no problem with that, but it's just so funny.
I mean, I've been buying vintage Coach bags. I buy them from the 80s and on eBay, and I'm obsessed with them.
Ooh, I like it. I mean, 80s, and that's cool. 80s bags are nice.
And that's cool.
When you do it, it's cool. Cool.
Nine, exactly.
90s. Yes.
Not because cool. We don't remember it. Right. That's why it's cool. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of like, now this is just turning into shopping, but I kind of just, I'm fixing to pull the trigger on a vintage Gucci purse.
Ooh.
That sounds good. Mm.
There's a vintage store in Pasadena, and I've wanted it for like 6 months. And like, I just feel like that's a piece that I would be really happy to
have. I feel like 6 months is like, get it. Because there's so many pieces that you can easily.
Okay.
I was at H&M today, and like, I like grabbed a few things, and then I was like, what am I doing? I just put them back because I'm like, this isn't necessary. You don't need these things. But like, a 6 month, if it's in your head that long, I feel like at that point.
What's the style?
There's something there.
Like, what kind of bag are we talking about?
Like, it's the original tack with, like, you know, the red stripey thing with, like, the Gucci logo that's the clasp. I'm torn between, like, if I want, like, more of, like, just a crossbody little guy or, like, more of a bigger kind of one.
I think a crossbody is nice. I support this purchase, and I think you should do it if you can afford it.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that, guys.
I'm greenlighting this.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how you win the game, by telling Tess she can buy something.
There we go.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back with Lady Problems.
Hey, everybody. We're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
Yay.
Nailed it.
Did it.
Hell yeah.
Okay,
we
we're going to do
know our names.
Lady Problems. Now, if you have a lady problem, you can send it to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. You can also give us a call. Our phone number is 323-6-BUT-30. And I'm going to play the song this time. You can actually hear it.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
I love that whisper at the end.
Yeah, that was
that's good. I feel like Tess should be get paid, paid whisperer
or something. But there is a old Katy Perry song. I don't know. I don't remember how I came across it, but it's like a birthday. Like, it's a song about birthday. I think it's called Birthday, and it's like a very fun, like, her style pop song, mid aughts or 2010 or whatever. But at the end, she just whispers "Happy Birthday" like after it ends, and it's so weird, and you don't see it coming, and that's how the song ends, and you're like, wait, what? Is there someone here? Like,
I thought you were going to say she has a song about birth.
She would.
She's like, when you're crowning and you... Or something, you know.
Yeah. I love it.
Anyway, go listen to it.
I do feel like her only... All of her music is now just that firework song. Like, every song is like a sweeping epic about how you are going to be okay.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she's also teamed up with Pikachu to convey this message recently. She has like a deal with Pokemon or something.
I don't feel like I've liked a Katy Perry song in a long time. Ever since that Bubble one, when she was trying to be like, oh, society, I was like, I can't do this.
Katie. I forgot about that. We don't need opinions from you, Katy.
It was bad.
She dropped that real quick. She was like, sorry, I tried something. Yeah. I was wrong. Everyone hates this.
Just go kidding. Here's the music you play at your bar mitzvah.
Right.
Yeah. I will never forget one thing that did made me have a lot of respect for Katy Perry. One time, a makeup artist did my makeup, and she had also done Katy Perry's makeup. And she told me that Katy Perry wears 4 strip lashes at the same time.
Wow.
How does she open
how
her
eyes? That is insane.
I feel so uncomfortable just with one.
Yeah. How are her eyes open? I feel like I'm squinting every time I'm wearing a pair of those things. One. Wow.
I know Trixie Mattel wears 12 pairs of strip lashes, but her thing is you cannot see her eyes.
Yes.
Like, they must be incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just don't know how anyone could focus to perform 12. That's really impressive. But yeah, Katy, wow. Like her eyes look open.
Yeah.
Whatever she's doing.
It's probably like a string pulling them back. someone above the stage with like two.
Yeah, that like old like starlet thing of like pulling your hair back.
Yeah.
Or your skin back.
Yeah. It'd be amazing.
Okay, we're going to play a voicemail here if somebody called in.
Hey, ladies. I know you try to keep talk about, like, how the world is kind of falling apart and stuff. You try to not center the podcast around that because it's doomy and gloomy, and you guys have a comedy podcast, so why the hell would you do that? But I feel like myself and a lot of the people I know right now are struggling with just, like, continuing to, like, get up and feel normal and go in to work and just do the same thing and act like everything's normal when it just really feels like things are falling apart. How do you guys keep yourself motivated and yourself happy and, just not lose your damn mind right now? Let us know how that's going for you, because I'd love to know. Thanks so much for making this amazing podcast. You guys rock.
All right,
bye.
The question we're all asking.
Yeah. For the listener, this is something that we do talk about off mic quite a bit, where we're just like,
Yeah, I mean, we obviously will talk about it on, but you know, yeah, we're trying. Trying to make something that does like, have a break in your day because there's so much shit happening, but it's also good to talk about it too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's hard because there's such a weird cognitive dissonance about like the day to day of like these are the things that I need to do to keep going. And also when you have a career that you're like, but I'm building towards something and I want to look forward to the future. But also the ocean is full of oil and everything's on fire. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, what do you have control of in this moment? And like not letting yourself like zoom out too much, I think. I think limiting thunder. I think like limiting social media is like definitely a big thing for me, at least, is like I can get into a real doom spiral pretty hard about things. So I just like, ooh, if I feel myself going in that direction, I'll be like, I'm going to go outside, go for a walk, leave my phone at home. And like, what are the things that like I can do to make myself feel better on the regular, like working out, making sure I'm eating healthy, like now being able to like consciously try to plan time to see people that I care about and stuff. And a big thing that I've done too, I think, is try to like take stock of what I really missed during the pandemic and what I was like really enjoyed about it. Mm-hmm. And like, cause there were some things, and like how to incorporate, like, I feel like the pandemic forced us all to like drop everything. And then we get to be more cognizant about what we want to pick back up now. And like, I'm not going to pick back everything up that I did before. And I think it's like, yeah, just focus on what you can do and like what your actual community can do in a small way.
I completely agree. I feel like there's like a couple things I think about in order to sort of feel more engaged and motivated. There was an episode of Love It or Leave It, and I cannot remember the name of the environmental activist who was on, but he was basically like, in like every societal change, you really only need to have like 3.2% of the population engaged on a topic before actual historical movement was able to be made. Now, how do you get to that? I don't know, because I do think like with the environment, like it's such an overwhelming topic. Like it is so hard to engage with like on a day-to-day personal basis. But I often think that where it's like, what we've been told, like, that things are going to be absolutely ruined or the things are irretrievable, it implies that there's no value at all in doing anything. When there's this whole gray area where it's like, mm-hmm. we can be engaging in things locally or, you know, politically in a way that does create good. And to me, that's really important to remember, is like, it's not all or nothing. Like, it's not like there's going to be a moment where, like, humanity blinks out of existence. There's going to be a lot. It could be either really bad or it could be bad, but, like, we can figure out how to live through this. And to, it's sort of like, if I allow myself to, like, give in to, like, my, like, most nihilistic tendencies, then there is nothing to be done. But in reality, there is a lot to be done. And so I think engaging with, like, those practical realities is very helpful as someone who does tend to go on those, like, anxious spirals 100%. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be my first thought about it.
Yeah, Julia.
Yeah, those are really good tips. Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely, like, will go, like, especially during the Trump of it all, this was a huge issue for me because but I got sidelined by the Texas abortion case. I was just so, I was so angry, and it was that experience again of like, all I can do is just tweet because I have to yell this somewhere, you know? So I try to, like, when I'm doing that, I do try to just consume my news in papers and, like, on websites that I like instead of finding my news on Twitter. Like, because I do want to know what's going on, but I think finding your news on Twitter is, if you are someone that kind of, like, does get into those rage spirals, you're just going to see other people echoing what you're saying, and it's just going to get you more hyped up and probably not a ton productive is going to come out of that. And then, yeah, I do, you know, also I do find that it, like, don't, you know, Venmoing what little I can to little places, I find that that does kind of, like, make me feel better. Mm-hmm. So I do try to do that. Same thing, those just little actionable things.
Yeah,
I think it does make you feel better when you take a little dent out of it.
Yeah, and being, like, hyper-micro, I think, is, like, there's nothing wrong with being, like, there's, like, we have, like, a couple houseless people that live in our neighborhood that, like, I buy coffee for on the regular, you know, or, like, buy an extra sandwich and drop them off with people. And it's, like, that does not help the massive issue that is homelessness in Los Angeles, but it makes that person's day specifically better every day, you know, and maybe gets them through or, like, you know, helps them out a little bit more. So I think that kind of stuff can be helpful.
Yeah. I saw a tweet, not to, like, be like, anyway, on Twitter, Julia Yaffe tweeted something, like, a week or two ago about just kind of the general feeling of this time. And she was like, the tragedies and the bad news are so destabilizing that there is no good. The good news can never be good enough to offset it. And I think that feels very real. To which my response is, like, I like to let myself, like, be fucked up about it and, like, lean in and, like, watch a little cry porn. And, like, if you feel like everything is at a boiling point, like, at least for me, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I've been going for weeks and, like, dealing with all of this, like, internalized stress about, like, the way of the world. And then also, like, how dumb it is to, like, be focused on the things I'm focusing on. And then, like, how much I, like, eschew my personal responsibilities when I get stressed out. And, like, just, like, watch the finale of 6 Feet Under and let yourself fucking weep for an hour. Like, it will, like, reset you mentally to just, like, it is, like, a tension release thing in the same way that, like, you know, coming can be. Like, there is something to that that does kind of, like, kind of empty your mind out. And, like, yeah, that's a weird day for you. But, like, it can, for me at least, like, be like, okay, gonna be okay. Sure. You just needed to get that out. And, like, then you can move on and, like, tackle small tasks a little bit. And I also like to go swimming for exercise. That's the other thing.
Well, and I think that's so important because it's like we live in a capitalist society that desperately wants this to be back to normal because it wants us to be little producers that keep making all the shit. And no matter what the bosses say, shit is not normal. There is going to be no normal for quite a fucking while if we ever get back to a pre-pandemic normal, even though that was shit in a lot of ways too.
Right.
So it is like you are being gaslit by forces that want you to just be continue just to be a little worker bee, but you were given a year and a half to question it and really think about like how fucked up things are. And that is terrifying to people in power. The fact that so many people I think have been radicalized and like woken up in a lot of ways in the last like, year and a half.
Susan Sarandon was right. That's what it comes down to.
Oh my God. I think that every day I just wake up.
Like she wasn't wrong. You could be mad at her, but she wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you know, mm-hmm. we've said this multiple times involving a lot of stuff, but I do think being easy on yourself is like the number one. Mm-hmm. And I know that this mm-hmm. is about, you know, how you're feeling about the world and stuff. But yeah, I think like lowering the expectations on like, A, how much, you know, just how much you have to do for everything, because it is, like we said, like, yeah, I personally can get really nihilistic about it. It's very hard for me mm-hmm. not to. And I very much get in that hole of like, well, fuck it then. But, you know, mm-hmm. hearing that number of like, wow, only this many people need to be involved. Obviously, that's still a huge percent when you think of how many people. But that does make you be like, right, then, like, why shouldn't I be doing something? It's silly of me to just disregard it. But even though mm-hmm. I do think that, like, shit's bad and it's going to not end up good, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that, yeah, like, we can't help people along the way. And like, mm-hmm. like Brandy said, it's like, okay, well, the future doesn't look great, but at least I can like help some people not live a fucking shitty ass life in the meantime, like mm-hmm. while we're on that yeah. path. Like that's yeah, all I yeah. can really think of, because it is like, to me, it's like, well, all I can do is like help people individually. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I also do like, and if I'm like, there is this element that I think is helpful to cultivate of like also forcing yourself to get off your ass. Mm-hmm. Like I'll get really in. I'm like, I just have to like, I drilled it into my head, like, just I'll say it out loud to myself as I'm like putting on my running shoes. I'm like, you'll feel better after this.
Yes,
you'll feel better after mm-hmm. this. Get in your car, you'll feel better after this. Yeah. And it's literally as if I'm like taking a leash and like dragging my ass to the track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, 100%.
I've definitely ignored that voice all weekend, but also like I allowed myself to like, I've just been so, you know, when you're an adult and you have so much shit to fucking take care of and you're like mm-hmm. any down day, you're like, well, I should do this. I should do this. I should, you know, mm-hmm. and I let myself like last weekend just like mm-hmm. fucking watch shitty movies for a day. And mm-hmm. it like, I swear to God, it did like heal me. I was like, oh, all I needed to do was not fucking put pressure on myself for a few mm-hmm. hours. Yeah. And like, it's like it goes both ways. It's like make yourself mm-hmm. do it when you know you really need to, but also like allow, be like, hey, it's fine if you don't fucking pull something off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break.
I
think we're all, so many people, and I think this is most female comics, and like a lot of people, probably our listeners too, we're so problem solving oriented too, that we want mm-hmm. fucking answers to everything. And right now there is mm-hmm. just not going to be a fucking answer to a lot of things. We're in a horrible limbo and it fucking sucks. And that's just, but that is the reality. So try not to like let yourself be like, drive yourself crazy by knowing that there is no end right now that's coming. It's so mm-hmm. hard to like to live in that space though, mm-hmm. especially when it's like on a daily basis. There's like, okay, there's my to-do list. I do this. And it's like, it's a lot of
it's totally absurd. It's yeah. completely absurd. And yeah. that's why I'm sorry to make a musical reference, but I constantly feel like we're living in Cabaret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
are.
Fucking ridiculous. It's batshit. Yeah. There's a disconnect that you have to have mm-hmm. between mm-hmm. what's actually going mm-hmm. on and the microcosm of your life, or you wouldn't be able mm-hmm. to continue on.
Yeah.
Like there's a necessary disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say that like, to the bullshit fucked up forces that have gotten us to this place, joy is the greatest revenge. So being able to find ways to continue to cultivate joy and happiness in yourself is like, they don't get to fucking all this bullshit does not get to take that from you, does not get mm-hmm. to take moments of happiness and connection with fellow people that you care about from you, does not get to take away like you fucking laughing at things like every like I there's a great Stephen Colbert quote from years ago of just like that laughter is the sound of saying I am not afraid and I am joyous because I'm making a loud noise of joy in the world. So every time you're laughing, you're actually kind of just saying fuck you to fear. And mm-hmm. I think it's so important to remember that. And just, yeah, the world is really shitty, but it does not get to make you feel that way all the time because you are in control of finding happiness when you can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Put that quote on a fucking blanket and sell yeah, it. Baby. And sell it for money.
Blanket.
Okay.
Yeah. Put it on your Etsy page. 10%. Thank you so much.
yeah, we're all out here. We're trying, but, you know, it's yeah. rough. And I think the answer also the like not having answers is tough also when
yeah.
when it's like this thing where you're just like, oh, half of the people just suck mm-hmm. or bad yeah. and like how do yeah. you your head is like, but how are you like that? That's what drives you crazy when you see people just
yeah
you know
for sure.
being pieces terrible. Of shit and you have no like you're like, okay, cool, that's who you are.
Well, yeah. also like
Like, our brains and, like, the way that humans function was not meant to consume and process and react to every trauma across the globe.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That we were talking about local news earlier, and it's like, that's how you used to, like, oh, my God, somebody got, like, run over by a car. Like, whoa, mm-hmm. not, like, hey, there's been, like, 9 earthquakes and 14 terrorist attacks and 13 climate mm-hmm. disasters, and I have to, like, and it's impossible not yeah. to take those in because we respond to tragedy and trauma, like, inherently mm-hmm. as compassionate beings, but, like, we're not meant to see this much of it, mm-hmm. and so, like, it's okay to not be able to give it to, like, sometimes I feel guilty, and I'm like, I didn't do anything for Haiti today. And it's like, right. okay, but like in most days yeah. of your life, you don't do something like you've never, like, that's not like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, you can do the little mm-hmm. things that make you feel like you're contributing yeah. that aren't like give here. Like, I feel like in the early pandemic, I was somebody who was like, oh no, I emptied out my checking account because I was yep. giving so much, which is like, obviously yeah. still was fine. And is a, you know, some kind of white lady savior problem. But like, but, like, we, you know, you can just, like, pick and choose, and you're, like, allowed to turn off what's happening, and that doesn't mm-hmm. make you a bad person. That just makes you somebody who's, like, getting by.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I recommend my app, One Trauma Per Day. It's 99 cents.
So
it feeds you one global yes. trauma a day that you can worry about.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And all proceeds like go to me.
Mm, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. Great.
The biggest trauma.
That's perfect. It's almost like corporate media is like designed to paralyze us with fear. Wow, it's so crazy.
Again, Michael, what's his fuck was right?
Myers?
Michael Myers was right. No, God damn it. Michael Moore. Michael Moore.
Yeah.
Michael Moore.
Was right. Him and Susan yeah. Sarandon, both right.
Yeah, they got some shit to say. Both right. Sure. You know what? You know what? Another thing I will say real quick, if you have cool old people in your life, talk to them because they have seen a lot of shit and it feels like this is the worst thing that's ever happened, but they've lived through a lot too. And they can be like, you know what? 1968 really fucking sucked too. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I mean, I still think that we're living yeah. through the worst timeline right now, personally. But
we are.
It's
man honestly, has always had an inherent capacity for evil.
Yes, exactly. And to like talk to them about like their life and what they have lived through and how things felt as they were going right. through it. Right. It's like, yeah, a lot of them are like, oh, no, I've been here before. It sucks.
I mean, my grandma's very cool. And she was like, this is fucked.
Yeah. No, so, I know. And, I mean, it's not yeah. that it's not fucked, but just historically, it's been fucked for a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of mm-hmm. fucked up things we've gone through and done. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, seriously, though, but also be real, like, we can get weed and frozen yogurt delivered to our apartments.
That is a plus.
Yeah.
Takes the edge off.
Tiny joys, even if those people mm-hmm. are severely underpaid. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to like poke tip holes well. In your joy.
Tip well. Tip well. Right,
tip well. If you yeah, get delivery, please. Tip well and tip in cash
yes.
if you can.
Yes, absolutely. Just,
yeah. Do what you can. Also call, if you can, if a place is walkable, go order directly from that place. So yeah. Uber doesn't
a lot
get
of places
the
don't,
percentage.
Yeah, but they a lot of places, they still just do it through, you know.
Ugh,
yeah.
I hate that.
Hey, well, it's okay, guys. I think we solved
cool,
it.
Uplifting. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I feel great. You feel better now?
I'm going to go cry.
Yeah, for sure. Also, listeners, if you guys have other ideas, please 323-6-butt-30. We love to hear from you yes. and we'll play them at the end of the show.
Yeah. So, tell us how you've been, how you've been getting through all this stuff. We love to hear from you.
Can I say, if you don't have a pet, adopt a pet?
Yes.
Yes.
Extremely, extremely helpful if you were able to. I mean,
very
really,
good. Very good idea.
Yeah.
I'm getting one cat too. Per every six, every quad. Yeah, every pandemic. 6 months. Every pandemic, I get a cat. So,
oh god,
two.
God, so many cats.
I'm getting one just in honor of the Spanish flu. So,
yeah, no, yeah, you gotta respect it.
Absolutely. The bubonic calico was my favorite.
Ladies, thank you so much for doing the show. It was great to hang out with you.
Thank you for having us. For having this us. Is so nice. This is a nice ugh. Break.
Oh,
and to have it happen during a thunderstorm.
I know.
So cozy.
It's kind of incredible. Nice.
Right. It is dark in New York, so I feel like I'm kind of
you're in
somewhat
a,
yeah. experiencing it.
You're
with
here
you.
With us.
You're here with
I
us.
I feel like, and you've been, we've all gotten darker throughout the episode. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect.
Internally and outside. Yeah,
exactly.
Always
darker and darker, turning into a piece of coal.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you guys online and all that good stuff.
Well, you could find our podcast at Ruin Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to it wherever your podcasts are sold or found. And I'm at Hallie Kiefer on Twitter.
And I'm at Allison Leiby on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, that's right. We have a, I don't know when this is coming out, but we're doing an online live show October 25th. So oh, nice. If this is before that.
This comes out on the tickets. 20th, so perfect.
Oh, great. Perfect. We're going to do Malignant. Out, right? Hallie's going to tell me all about Malignant. So cool. If you want to know what happens in that movie, get a ticket to the live show. It's up for 72 hours. You don't have to be available exactly on a Monday night at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's 5 smart. That's Pacific. Smart way to
do it. So, yeah, that's like what's new with us.
Cool.
Also, by the way, you were just featured in the fucking New York Times.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Let's plug that for a second because it's cool as shit.
Yeah. I do a 1-hour show all about abortion and my experience with it, which I'm doing around New York City and coming to LA and other towns, you know, one day soon once I can figure out how to tour.
And you, because you were aborted, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the story.
Is well, she should have been.
I wear a red turtleneck and I'm curled up on the floor the whole time and I tell the story of being a fetus.
That's what I think of New York in the 90s. That's what your One Woman Show would have been then.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes, totally. 100%. I'd be like smoking a cigarette on stage being like, they didn't even know.
You know, wearing a nice clog.
Yes.
Perfect.
I live in Brooklyn. I'm like dying for a new clog. But like a different kind of clog. Yeah, but I'm doing it here in New York at Union Hall in October and again at Caveat in November. And there will be more dates. And, you know, if you follow me personally, I'll be posting that information.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, thanks so much, you guys. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everybody.
No problem. Talk to you next week.
We'll see y'all next week.
Y'all.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. Longtime listener. I was just listening to your episode where the lady problem was that this caller was worried if they were normal by thinking about an old relationship a lot, even though they're happy in their relationship. And I just wanted to call and say, yep, you're 100% normal. I've been married for 17 years, and the guy I still think about is named Austin. Have a great day.
Hey, ladies. Again, new listener, came from the MFM fam. I love you guys. I was just listening to today's episode where the woman was asking about not being able to let go of somebody. And I had this happen to me, too. Right as I was about to marry my now husband, I just was like, oh, my God, like, is there any chance? Or, like, am I leaving something go? But I just want her to know that it's normal. I love my husband, and my weird ex, who I sometimes still thought about, actually just looked at me on LinkedIn the other day, which was equally weird. So I think it happens for everyone, both genders, but she shouldn't feel like it's weird or she's alone. It happens to a lot of us.